You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church. Anyways, my name is Corey, and I just love this church. I love the Vineyard. I gave my life to Jesus here when I was 14 years old, and then I just never left. And then eventually they put me to work, and I've been on staff here for 7 years. So I've just been around here. But I love this church, and my current role here is worship director. So I mostly lead our worship ministry here at the Vineyard, but I get to preach a couple times a year too. So I'm very excited to do that today. Like Jeff said, today we're wrapping up the series we've been in all month long called Storms. And as I was preparing for this message, I kept thinking about one of the weirdest storms that I've ever been in. Back in 2011, my dad and I went on this really cool hike near Pingree Park. There's actually an old B-17 crash site up there from 1944. I have a picture of some of the wreckage. The plane was on a training mission out of Rapid City, South Dakota, got off course, and crashed into the mountains near Flowers Trail. And so now you can hike all the way up there and see the wreckage. And so this is the hike that we did. It's really cool. We camped the night before in Pingree Park, woke up the next morning, and headed out. And it was one of those beautiful Colorado mornings, classic Colorado day, blue skies, cool air, perfect hiking weather. But maybe 30 minutes into the hike, the storm came out of nowhere. And it wasn't just rain. It was hail, thunder, snow, all of it. It just came out of nowhere. And we honestly had no idea what to do. I mean, one minute we were hiking and talking and everything was fine, and then the next minute we were getting pelted with hail and walking through snow. I mean, we just didn't know what to do. The temperature dropped, the wind picked up, and suddenly the whole hike just felt different. We wanted to stand under the trees so we wouldn't get hit by hail, but there was also lightning. And that's usually a pretty bad idea in a lightning storm to stand under trees. So we just didn't know what to do. We were like, lightning, hail. Every option felt like the wrong option. We talked about turning around and heading back to camp, but eventually we just decided to wait it out. And thankfully, it turned out to be one of those classic Colorado storms. It was intense and chaotic, but it was short. And then as soon as it was over, the clouds cleared, the sun came back out, and it turned into one of those beautiful Colorado days again, like nothing had happened. This happens all the time in Colorado. So we were able to finish the hike, make it to the crash site, and it's still one of my favorite memories with my dad. But as I thought about that story this week, I realized that this is kind of how the storms of life can feel sometimes. This is how the emotional storms can feel, the mental storms. Everything feels normal one minute, and then suddenly you're standing in hail and lightning, wondering what happened and what you're supposed to do next. Storms can move in fast in our life. And before we know it, we find ourselves in places we don't recognize, and we don't know how things got so bad so quickly. This is how my story with depression started. Growing up, I never would have described myself as depressed. I went through some hard things in my childhood, and there were definitely days or even seasons when I struggled, but I never really felt like life itself was hopeless. I never felt consumed by darkness or unable to see anything good ahead. At least not until 2017. I can remember the day that I woke up and something was just different. I mean, it really was like that. I went to bed and I was fine, and then I woke up the next morning and just wasn't. Depression like settled over me like this just dark cloud, and things just changed. One day I was fine, and then the next, I wasn't. And at first, I didn't tell anyone. I just wrestled with it by myself because I was scared to admit that I felt so depressed. And I thought that if I could just keep it to myself, then I could pretend that it wasn't there. I could just move on with life. Because I knew that if I admitted it to someone, then I wouldn't be able to hide the pain anymore. And I'd have to really deal with it. But eventually I told Josh. I remember that night too. We were dating at the time. We were sitting in his parents' living room, and I finally just said, Josh, I don't know how to say this. I was so uncomfortable. I was like, I don't know how to say this, so I'm just gonna say it. But I'm depressed. And not just sad, and I'm not just having a bad day. I mean, all the time. I can't seem to feel anything else. I told him I hate life, I hate myself, and I don't know what to do. It scares me. And it did scare me. I didn't know what to do. And so after I told Josh, the next thing I tried to do was blame my depression on other things, to give me some sort of reason for why I was struggling, to help me understand it. And so I thought, well, maybe it was just seasonal, that it would eventually pass on its own. But months passed, and it didn't. And so I said, maybe it was spiritual. I mean, it came on so suddenly, it sort of seemed spiritual. So let's pray. Pray for freedom from depression. I prayed, and it didn't go away. And who knows, maybe it is spiritual. I mean, it really could be. But all I know is I've prayed, and the people in my life have prayed, and they've prayed, and yet I still struggle with depression. Yes, I'm a ministry leader, and I still struggle. Some days it feels so hard to see through the thick mental fog of depression. And then other days it's totally fine. But it's a regular struggle for me, and I need the Lord's help. Storms can feel like this sometimes. Sorry, a little heavy, we can loosen up, you know, it's okay. The storms can feel like this sometimes. They feel like this deep sadness that no matter what you do, no matter how you try to rationalize it, it's just there. And it's heavy. It's lonely. And it robs you of what's happening right in front of you. This is the type of storm we're talking about today. You ready? Now, to talk about this biblically, and not just from my own experience, we're going to spend some time in the Psalms. And by the way, if you've been around the Vineyard for a while, Jeff mentioned this morning, but we read a psalm every Sunday morning at the beginning of our service. We do this every week, and it's always in a specific order because there's a church book out there called a lectionary. And thousands of churches from all over the globe read the same verses each week. So we're joining with the global church when we read our psalm each week. The Psalms are beautiful. They teach us how to pray, and they give us language for the full range of human emotion, the human experience. They talk about joy, gratitude, celebration, confusion, anger, grief, and sorrow. All of these things are written about in the book of Psalms. And I think that's one of the things I love most about them. They remind us that God isn't just interested in our praise, but that he also wants to meet us in our pain. The psalm we're reading today is Psalm 69, and it's what's known as a psalm of lament. In other words, it's a prayer written from the middle of a storm. And if you've ever felt overwhelmed, exhausted, discouraged, or like you're barely keeping your head above water, then you're going to find yourself somewhere in these words this morning. Let's read the first few verses of this chapter. It's Psalm 69. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, "Save me, O God, for the floodwaters are up to my neck. Deeper and deeper I sink into the mire, and I can't find a foothold. I am in deep water, and the floods overwhelm me. I'm exhausted from crying for help. My throat is parched. My eyes are swollen with weeping, waiting for God to help me. One of the first things we see in the scripture is that David is getting brutally honest about his pain. I mean, he's not hiding anything. This is so vulnerable. I mean, these verses are depressing. His complaints are very sad. I mean, read these verses and just imagine what this metaphorical picture would mean for you. He says, the floodwaters are up to my neck. I'm about to go under. I can't find a footing. I can't even stand up. I've been crying so much. My throat is dry and I'm out of tears. Does anyone else ever feel like David, or is it just me? Because I can relate to this experience he's describing. David paints this picture for us that's unbearable, but at the same time, it feels so relatable. Some of us read this and are like, yep, that's me. I can't breathe. I'm drowning. I can't stand up. I'm exhausted from crying. This is where David finds himself in Psalm 69. Deep pain. And he wasn't just sad. He wasn't just having a bad day. He's talking about the type of suffering that has reached his soul, reached his heart. It's a different level of pain. And at this point, you can't pretend that you're okay anymore. I mean, we can endure a lot of pain so long as it stays on the surface. Like, we can deal with a lot so long as it stays out here. But when the storm reaches our heart, when it reaches our mind and our emotions and our spirit, that's when it becomes really difficult. I mentioned earlier that when I started to struggle with depression, one of the scariest parts was admitting that it was true. Because we're not going to make it through the storms if we can't admit we're in a storm. We can only tough it out for so long. We have to admit to ourselves and to those around us that the storms of our life suck, that they're hard, that they're real. In his book, The Problem of Pain, C.S. Lewis says, mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it is more common and also more hard to bear. The frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It is easier to say my tooth is aching than to say my heart is broken. This is true. And by the way, when he says less dramatic, he doesn't mean less drama. He just means that physical pain is obvious. It's obvious to see. It's easier to point at something that's bleeding or a broken bone and say, this hurts, than it is to tell someone that your head or your heart and your mind aren't okay. But even though it's uncomfortable, we have to get honest about our pain. We've got to get honest about our pain. With ourselves, with others, and with God. We have to learn how to do this because honesty is what keeps us from suffering in silence. Once David gets honest about what he's experiencing, he doesn't just keep it to himself. He takes all of that pain, all of that confusion, all of that grief, and he brings it to God. Psalm 69 starts with a list of complaints, and if you keep reading, the list is longer than we have time for today. But look at what comes at the very beginning of his complaints. The first four words of this psalm give context for everything that follows. The first four words are, save me, O God. Save me, O God. He's praying. The context of these complaints is that they're in prayer. And this is where we can learn something from David today, that in the middle of this storm, in the depths of his pain, he's crying out to God. And we can too. Now, there's so many pretty prayers out there. beautiful, put together, fit for a king kind of prayers. But when I am in dark, dark seasons, my prayers don't sound like that. In fact, some of the clearest moments I've had with the Lord have come when my prayers are the most messy and the least put together. They may even seem offensive. But God wants those prayers. Even if they're fighting through pain and soaked in tears, it doesn't scare him. It doesn't disqualify us or make us less human. It makes us real. The Psalms are so helpful for us because they give us language and they teach us how to do this. How to get honest, our first point for today, but also they teach us what it can look like to cry out to God. Let's keep reading in Psalm 69, picking back up in verse 13. It says, "But I keep praying to you, Lord, hoping this time you will show me favor. In your unfailing love, O God, answer my prayer with your sure salvation. Rescue me from the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper. Save me from those who hate me and pull me from these deep waters. Don't let the floods overwhelm me or the deep waters swallow me or the pit of death devour me. Answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. Don't hide from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in deep trouble." Now, as I was reading these verses, I noticed something about it that I both love and hate. David never actually asked God to take the storm away. That's not in there. He could have prayed, "Lord, clear up the mud." But instead he prays, "Rescue me from the mud. Don't let me sink any deeper." He could have prayed, "Lord, stop the rain, dry up the floodwaters." But instead he prays, "Don't let the floods overwhelm me or the deep waters swallow me up." David doesn't pray that the storm would disappear. He just prays that the storm wouldn't be too much. And if I'm honest, I love that because it's real. But I also hate it because I'd much rather God just make the storm go away. Let there be no mud. Let there be no rain. Lord, just take it away. But David seems to understand something that we forget. That sometimes God's answer isn't to remove us from the storm. Sometimes it's to meet us in it and carry us through it. And when we read Psalm 69, we're not just seeing David's storm. We're being pointed to Jesus, who walked through the greatest storm of all when he was rejected and abandoned and ultimately gave his life on the cross. This is why Psalm 69 shows up in the New Testament a lot. In fact, it's one of the most frequently quoted psalms in the New Testament because David's experience of rejection, suffering, and crying out to God points us forward to Jesus. The gospel writers, Paul, and even the book of Acts all come back to this psalm because they see Jesus in it. They see the rejection, they see the suffering, they see the mocking and the cries of pain. And that's important because we can't forget that Jesus suffered too, deeply. Of course, the suffering of Jesus is hard to look at and think about. But how incredible is it that we serve a God who understands us, who understands our pain? A God who isn't distant from suffering or removed from it. He's lived it. He's felt it. He knows what it's like to be rejected, betrayed, grieved, and overwhelmed. On the cross, Jesus died, carrying the sin of all time on his shoulders. Shame that wasn't his. Death that was meant to be ours. And he cried out, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" the second half of this verse tends to get more attention than the first. But the first part of this verse is beautiful. My God, my God. Even in suffering, Jesus still cried out, my God. Even in the midst of deep pain, Jesus stayed close to the Father. And that's one of the things I love about both David and Jesus. Neither of them hide their suffering. Neither of them pretend that they're okay. And neither of them walk away from God when life gets hard. Instead, they bring their pain directly to him. Just like David in Psalm 69, Jesus entrusted himself to the Father in the middle of the storm. Even on the cross, through unimaginable suffering, his words were still, my God. In his darkest moment, Jesus didn't let go of relationship. He leaned in. But a lot of us do the opposite. When life gets too dark, too unfair, or too overwhelming, we start asking questions like, where are you? Do you even care? Why would you let this happen? Why won't you just pull me out of this right now? Make it go away. And when we're suffering, we usually just want an explanation. We just want to know why. Why is this happening and whose fault is it? Like I said, in the beginning of my struggle with depression, I played the blame game. Tried to pin it on anything that I could. The season, a spiritual attack, my circumstances. But eventually, I turned the blame on myself. I thought maybe I was struggling because I had done something wrong. Maybe I deserved it somehow. Maybe this was the consequence of some failure in my life. But over time, I've realized that's a lie. That's not true. And honestly, one of the things that helped me see that was looking at the life of Jesus. Jesus experienced deep sorrow and grief. He was described as a man of sorrows, acquainted with suffering, but he never sinned. He never did anything wrong. So when we look at the life of Jesus, we're reminded of something important, that suffering is not always the result of sin. Sometimes we suffer simply because we live in a broken world. Sometimes the storm isn't punishment. Sometimes it's just a storm. In 1874, Charles Spurgeon, a famous theologian, once said this to a bunch of ministry students. He said, no sin is necessarily connected with sorrow of heart. For Jesus Christ our Lord once said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. There was no sin in him, and consequently, none in his deep depression. I wish I had heard that when I first started struggling with depression. Because at the time, I was convinced something must be wrong with me. I thought if I just prayed harder, had more faith, or got my life together, then maybe the depression would just go away. But what I needed to know was that deep sorrow is not always evidence of deep sin. So what about you? Have you ever looked at a storm in your life and assumed it must be your fault? Maybe there's a habit you can't seem to break, or a struggle you can't overcome, a wound that you just won't heal, and you've convinced yourself that God must be disappointed with you. What pain are you carrying right now? What grief, sorrow, or suffering feels so heavy that you're exhausted from fighting it? And what if, instead of blaming yourself or someone else, God is inviting you to draw closer to him in the middle of it? What if your prayer changed from, God, get me out of this, to God, help me cling to you through this. Don't let this overwhelm me. That's exactly what David does throughout Psalm 69. He brings his pain to God and trusts him with it. And because David knows who God is, he has confidence that God won't abandon him in his storm. And we can have that same hope. Let's finish by looking at the last few verses of Psalm 69, starting in verse 29. I'm suffering and in pain. Rescue me, O God, by your saving power. Then I will praise God's name with singing, and I will honor him with thanksgiving. For this will please the Lord more than sacrificing cattle, more than presenting a bull with its horns and hooves. The humble will see their God at work and be glad. Let all who seek God's help be encouraged. For the Lord hears the cries of the needy. He does not despise his imprisoned people. So if you find yourself needing help today, be encouraged, because God hears our cries. He hears you. He knows you. And he loves you. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never known that God sees you, that he hears your cries and wants to rescue you. And if that's you and today feels like the day you want to place your trust in Jesus, then in just a few moments, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Because following Jesus changes everything. It doesn't mean every storm suddenly disappears. It doesn't mean suffering magically ends, but it does mean you no longer walk through it alone. That's the only reason I've been able to find steadiness in seasons of life that feel anything but steady. It's because I'm walking through it with Jesus. In Jesus' suffering, God delivers us from ours. And because of Jesus, we can have confidence that there will be an end to all of this pain, that there's joy to come. And so if you are suffering today, go to God in prayer. He's listening and he hears his people. Throughout scripture, we see men and women bringing their pain, grief, and questions to God over, over, and over again. And we find a God who meets them there. On my darkest days, I still find myself feeling broken and useless. But one of the things I've learned is that God does some of his best work in broken places. He is near to the hurting. He is faithful in the storm, and he is not finished with your story. About 2,000 years after David wrote Psalm 69, the book of Revelation was written, and we were given a future promise that helps us navigate the storms of today on this side of heaven. Let me close by reading this scripture about our future as we enter into prayer. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 7. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Let's pray together.